Good morning, church. I now know where the diehards are. We figured that the attendance this morning would be pretty thin with the storm that is out and about, and I am surprised that some of you are here. But it is great to have you here and to be a part of this service as we worship Christ our Lord. Indeed, I wish that we had the warning like we have with this storm that is out there now to make preparations, because sometimes those warnings we just don't get for those situations in life, and they just come at us pretty hard. But in the midst of it all, God is our shepherd that continually seeks to lead us to the still waters and the green pastures. And may we meet that shepherd this day as we experience his grace and his forgiveness. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. Welcome on this cold, blustery morning. It is great to see all of you, and especially our visitors. Jen has some visitors today, so make certain that you welcome them. And Jen, as a reminder, if they would like, your friends would like information or any other visitors, there's a welcome packet hanging on the Shepherd's Crook out in the narthex. Oh, you got it already. Good job. Okay. Again, as a reminder, the red registration booklets are at the end of each pew. Please sign the form in that folder, pass it to others in the pew, and then bring it back to the center aisle. There are also 3x5 index cards. If you have a prayer request this morning, please complete that and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew, and the ushers will bring it forward for Reverend Lake. We do have a few announcements that I would like to highlight. Next Sunday will be our camp stewardship Sunday, so if you or a friend that perhaps is missing today, remind them to join us next Sunday for new brochures and other information on Camp Sunday. As always, we've been announcing the last month or so, but into this new year, the nursery still needs volunteers for 2015. Finance Committee is selling candies. There is an order form in the narthex. They will be for Easter. Wilson candies sold by the Finance Committee. Connie has a message.
I just wanted to thank everyone who helped us get moved. I really appreciate the effort, and I appreciate my church family. Thank you very much.
Again, on behalf of Connie, thank you all that helped her and her brother move this week, especially in the cold weather. And I have two announcements that are not in the bulletin, so perhaps you can mark them on your calendar or even just write on your bulletin. On February 18th, that is fast approaching, that is Ash Wednesday, there will be a simple soup supper before our Ash Wednesday service. So that's on Wednesday, the 18th. And also, Shirley and John were very active members of the church, and they moved to warmer climes a couple years ago. Shirley turns 80 on Sunday, February 8th, so that's next Sunday, and her family would like a shower of cards. So those of you that remember Shirley, and even those of you that do not, a wonderful woman turns 80 on February 8th. Diane Renser has an announcement.
I just want to, again, extend an invitation to any of the men in the congregation for acting skills for the Living Last Supper. We do it during Holy Week, the Tuesday, Thursday of Holy Week. All the information is in the bulletin. I'm also going to be looking for some singers. You don't have to commit to being in the choir on Sunday mornings. This is for anybody in the community who likes to sing. We won't be starting those rehearsals until February 26th, and they will be on Thursday nights at 8:15 here in the sanctuary. And if there's an interest of people singing and they cannot come on Thursdays, I can do a Sunday rehearsal. So There are some other needs that are listed in the bulletin, so I urge you please to read those and come up and volunteer part of our church. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane. Once again, we're looking forward to a wonderful production of The Living Last Supper presented by our church. And now a final reminder, I ask you to please take a look at your bulletin referencing the additional announcements, meetings, and other activities that we have in the life of our church. Let us begin our worship service. I would ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. What have you come expecting?
You ask someone to tell us what to do and think.
Is that what you want, really?
We see knowledge as the direction from one who speaks and acts with authority.
You seek Jesus. Will you listen to him and follow where he leads?
Yes, God will help us.
Come then, let us open our hearts to follow the one who speaks and acts with authority. Please remain standing and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Unison Prayer for our prayer this morning. God of our lives, we come this morning seeking your wisdom and guidance. How may we truly be your people? How do we discern the truth from the false prophets in our midst? How do we avoid causing another to stumble while others have courage to change? How do we live faithfully in covenant with you? Fill us with your wisdom, Spirit, and enliven us with your word, that we may be renewed as the people you have called us to be. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 96 in your red hymnal.
Today? Are you feeling better?
Yes.
Were you a little sick?
Yes.
Did you miss some school?
Yes.
Oh, 3 days. Oh, that, isn't that how long Jonah was in the belly of that big fish?
No.
And Jesus in the tomb 3 days?
Yes.
And that groundhog was in the ground 3 days too, wasn't he? Tomorrow, that groundhog comes out tomorrow. Did you ever see that on TV? Did you ever watch the movie Groundhog Day? Probably not. It happens over and over. Anybody count? How many days does he repeat?
Three.
Oh, I'll bet it's 30. Yeah. I don't know. I tried one time and I lost track. So tomorrow we talk about that groundhog coming out, and if he sees a shadow, more bad weather.
Yeah.
But you know, he always sees a shadow because there's cameras there with big lights on them. Like we got shadows right here. Look at them. Oh, well, it's just a funny wives' tale. So do you think today's kind of a word of authority? Does that groundhog really have any authority on the weather?
No.
No. Do you know where he lives? Yeah. That groundhog lives in a library. In the Punxsutawney Library. You can go into the library and see Punxsutawney Phil in a pen. I've done it before. Personally, it looked like he had mange, I'd have gone and gotten another one. It was not a pretty groundhog. So I don't think he can cast the weather, or she, but it's called Phil. But who has authority? Do you listen to your moms and dads?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because they have authority. When they say something, you better listen. And when we get older and we have a wife or a husband, we listen to each other as well. And then in church, who do we need to listen to?
God.
God, you're right. So God has authority? God knows right from wrong, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to act with people. So we always want to pay attention to what God says, because God has the authority. Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for these girls. We are grateful, O God, for your authority in our lives. When you say something, we need to listen. And we pray, O God, every day that we would be faithful and do what you would have us to do, so we would know how to treat our friends and our family members and even those people that we do not know. We pray for their moms and dads, everybody that cares for them. Might they all be blessed. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's my birthday tomorrow.
Is your birthday tomorrow on Groundhog Day? Well, isn't that wonderful?
That's a late response, but that was my response sitting there. That was beautiful. I'm not musically inclined, but I guess it was the harmonies, Diane? Yes? Okay. It was beautiful. Our responsive reading this morning is Psalm 111. That can be found on page 832 in your red hymnal. Please recite your response to my prompt. Praise the Lord.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation,
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Who has caused this wonderful works to be remembered? The Lord is gracious and merciful.
The Lord provides food for the faithful and is ever mindful of his covenant.
The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithe and our offering.
Bless the gifts we offer to you this day. As we are reminded this morning of the authority you have given your precious Son, so we remember how he passed it to us. Help us to see that this authority is to stir the power of compassion, hope, and love in one another. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the source of this compassion, mercy, and healing. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to the time when we want to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. I received word this morning that Bob is in Forbes Hospital. Bob has been dealing with shingles over the last few weeks or month, and he's in for some further testing. At the early service, Chris was to be the worship host, but he was not here this morning because Jack called him, and their little child, Jack and Carolyn's little Chelsea, was running a fever. I think I heard someone say, what, 105? So they had her in children's last night, and he wasn't sure, you know, how long those things would take, so Chris was preaching for him this morning. And also then Chloe, a three-year-old who has had surgery and needs healing. And also pray for Joe, a friend who has had a stroke. He was doing well, but to pray for his continued recovery, as for the recovery of all of these individuals that we have mentioned. You'll notice that on the back page, there's also a list of other individuals there to lift up and keep in your prayers during this coming week. And so may we now unite our hearts, our minds, and our spirits in our prayer hymn this morning, number 617, our communion hymn, I Come With Joy. Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in your presence this day. To be in your presence, to be in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ, to know, O God, beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are here. To know, O God, that it is here that we can experience your grace and forgiveness in this holy meal of communion. It is here, O God, we come to give to you our heartfelt joys and concerns. The hurts and the needs, the joys and the celebration of your community. Oh God, we are mindful of situations in our own lives. Families, friends, co-workers, acquaintances. Oh God, you know the names of individuals that are upon our minds and our thoughts right now. You know, oh God, the situations of those individuals that are on our prayer list and those that have been voiced this day. And you, O God, know the situations where names and places cannot be voiced, but you are there in the midst. We know, O God, that song, when the storms of life are raging, to stand by you. O God, as storms do rage around us, as preparations have been made, O God, we know that at some point in our lives, and that we will have those storms as well, whether they are physically, spiritual, or emotional. But your Son, Jesus Christ, comes to us as the Good Shepherd, the one who interacts with us along the still waters and the green pastures, who seeks, O God, to give us a sense of rest and peace for the weariness and the hecticness of our souls. O God, may we all be comforted. But we know, O God, that in the midst of daily life and living, we don't always get things right. sin and evil creep in. Decisions are made that should not have been made. And things, oh God, around us begin to unravel. And then we must seek grace and forgiveness from you and from others. And we must begin to rebuild and place the pieces back into place. Oh God, in the midst of it all, there you are. And so as we come to receive this meal of grace and forgiveness, O God, we pray that our paths might be wiped clean, that we might begin anew and afresh this day in this moment, that we would yield to the authority of you, your Son, Jesus Christ, and the presence of your Holy Spirit in our daily lives and living. O God, may all that we do and say bring honor and glory to you and to your kingdom. Lord God, bless each mission and ministry that is represented here by individuals and families. Bless, O God, your churches, that we might be faithful in our calling, our mission and ministry to the world and to the places where we are planted. O God, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. As we share together in the prayer he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So we make preparations to hear these words of Scripture from Mark's Gospel. If you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives. And now, O God, prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive your words. Might we glean and harvest words for us. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority, not like the legal experts. And suddenly there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Silence," Jesus said, speaking harshly to the demon, "come out of him." The unclean spirit shook him and screamed. Then it came out. And everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands unclean spirits and they obey him." Right away, news spread about him throughout the entire region of Galilee. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I wonder what the conversation was that Sabbath around the lunch table. Whoo, where did that guy come from? Can you believe he interrupted Jesus in the middle of his sermon? Can you believe what Jesus said and did? Who is this man? What is he all about? Jesus is opposed to the power of darkness. And Jesus sees his mission and ministry in Galilee as preaching the good news of the coming reign of God and casting out demons. In a number of places in the Gospels, Jesus confronts these demons. He defeats them and casts them out of people's lives. We need to understand what that means in our own lives, in our own situation, in our own modern world. We sophisticated people. But we should not do away with the reality of evil all too quickly or its effects in our lives all too quickly either. All we need to do is remember looking in the mirror this morning or look in the mirror when we get home, and we'll realize that there is that struggle between good and evil even within us still. All we need to do is pick up the newspaper or turn on the news, and we will see that this ancient struggle between good and evil still continues even today. The reality of evil is a part of our lives, whether we want to make it human, it as a human type person or not. One of Jesus' central missions in life was to confront that evil, and he compels his followers to do the same in love. The writer of Mark's gospel focuses on this spiritual power that Jesus possesses. Throughout the gospel, the writer of Mark places Jesus in opposition to the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the temple officials in Jerusalem, the scribes, the religious leaders, those of first century Palestine that liked to be in charge of the church setting. And Jesus begins very quickly to teach with an authority that amazes all of them, all of those who are listening to him. Authority can be used to describe the authority of government or the freedom of free will. Authority especially describes, though, the power of God in nature and the spiritual world. Jesus is completely full of the power of God, whose word is creative. And we remember that creative word, that creative force, when we look at John's gospel and we read about that pre-existent Logos, the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwells among us. Mark reports this dramatic exorcism in the synagogue to demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's fascinating that the demons already have knowledge of who this Jesus Christ is. They know more than those individuals who are standing around listening to Jesus. They reveal his messianic calling by identifying Jesus as the Holy One of God. But in the very presence of Jesus Christ, the power of Satan is challenged, and it is broken by the presence of Jesus Christ, just as it is in the temptation stories. The kingdom Jesus proclaims is in direct opposition to the reign of evil in the world. Jesus does not just announce that the reign of God is near, but Jesus demonstrated in his life, in his words, in his teachings, in his healings, that he is the one who is breaking into this present age of darkness by all his authority. And Jesus promises that this same authority will empower the ministry of his disciples, even his disciples of today. Yes, my friends, the same power and authority is to govern our lives each and every day with each and every step that we take along the way. That same power that empowered Jesus Christ is offered to us this day. Almighty God is with us. We are never alone. As we come together to receive God's grace and forgiveness in this holy meal, to experience the holy mystery of Christ in the bread and the juice, may we be forgiven our evils, our sins. And may we then get on with the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do. For indeed, God is with us, and we are not alone. Let us pray. Oh God, life is not always simple and easy. At times it's difficult and challenging, but we're never alone. That is the good news. When confronted, O God, with those things in life that just turn our stomachs upside down, O God, there you are in the midst of it, enabling us and empowering us to be your church and your disciples. O God, with a sense of newness, of strength and confidence and assurance, we seek to be your faithful people. Come now, O God, that we might experience your holy presence in this holy meal. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. We come together today to remember that Jesus gathered in that upper room with his disciples. But probably more than that, the Seder meal, if we look at the readings in the Old Testament, that Seder meal that began with that event that drew the plagues to a close as Moses was seeking through God's presence to free the Hebrew people from Egypt. The scriptures tell us that as that lamb was sacrificed and the blood was placed upon the doorway, that if that lamb was too big and the family was too small, they were to gather together with other families so that all might be consumed. In a church in Pittsburgh, they have a picture of the Last Supper. And there Jesus is gathered with the 12 disciples and all their families. From the youngest to the oldest, the ritual of the Seder meal has the youngest asking a question and the oldest mom responding. And so we come together as the body, all of us remembering that Jesus was gathered in that upper room with a full body of family and friends. And serving as the host, at some point during the meal, Jesus took bread. He lifted it to the heavens, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "Folks, I want you to eat this because this is my body and it's broken for you. And when you eat it, remember me, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been broken for you, that you might eat, that you might remember." And as that supper was coming to a close, Jesus picked up a cup. And he said, "This cup is something new, something different. It's a new covenant. My blood that is shed for the forgiveness of the sins. Now, in that Seder meal, that lamb, that blood was placed on the door so that the angel of death might pass and they might be saved. But later on, the Hebrew nation was saved through an animal being sacrificed on the altar and the blood being dashed there. And here is the cup of the new covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, shed for our sins today. May we drink it and remember Him. This morning you will be receiving communion in the pews. I would ask that as the ushers wait upon you and pass it, that you would hold it, and then together under my direction as one body, we will commune together. I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, this table is not ours. It's God's table, and it's open to all of you. Whether you are a member here or anywhere, it doesn't matter. But if you desire God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, then it is available to you. We remember how Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, don't keep them away." And so children of all ages are welcome to come and to commune as well. The table is prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come. Precious gift, a gift especially for you, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread of life, broken for you. Take, eat, and remember Him. Amen. Cup of the new covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed perfectly, completely, and finally for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, us today. Drink, receiving grace and forgiveness, and remember Him. Amen. Gracious and loving God, Your presence is upon us and within us. In this holy mystery of Your holy presence, O God, we have received grace and forgiveness. Our sins are forgiven, our lives are wiped clean. And You send us forth into the world to be Your church, to be Your servants, to be Your disciples. May we live, may we share, may we proclaim Your good news. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our closing hymn together. gracious and loving God, as you send us out into the world, continually, O God, speak to us. Continue, O God, to motivate us. Continue, O God, to use us wherever we are found, that the light of Christ might continue to radiate forth from within each and every one of those, that others might see and experience the good news of Christ our Lord. For we go, O God, in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.